Good morning. And welcome. Welcome to worship today, the 27th of December already. We've got a much smaller select gathering in. These are the people who remembered what day it actually is today. Or else you're the people who resisted that temptation, haven't looked out the window and thought, nah, I'm just going to watch it from bed this morning. Hello to all of you who are doing that this morning. But it's good to have you joining us as we unite together to worship today. I want to read to you the final words of the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi. And as you listen to these words, just remember this. These were the last words that God spoke to his people for 400 years. There are times when we say heaven seems to be silent, that God doesn't speak to us. But just imagine 400 years waiting for God to move in fulfillment of these words. We sing that song sometimes at Christmas, "What Hope We Hold This Starlit Night," and we talk about what fear we felt in the silent age. 400 years, can he be found? If you've never understood that, that's the reference. That silence from heaven for those 400 years. But at the end of Malachi, we read this, but for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. We're going to be thinking later about the fulfillment of those words when God started to speak to his people once more. But before we do that, we're going to unite together to praise God. Going to invite Alan and Anna to come up. Alan's decided it's the 27th of December, folks. Christmas is over. So our first song isn't a Christmas song. For the rest of the service, I'm just going to refer to him as Ebenezer, okay, folks? So we're going to join. We're going to sing good words all the same. We're going to sing The Lion and the Lamb. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we unite together this morning, we worship you for your greatness. We praise you for the God that you are, God of faithfulness, without injustice, good and upright in all your ways. We praise you that you do not change with the passing of the years. We praise you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your love and your mercy endure forever. And we praise you for the security and assurance that your unchanging nature gives to us as we live in a changing and uncertain world. Fathers, we meet today, we're conscious it is the last Sunday of 2020. We cannot help but look back over the road we've traveled. 2020 has been a difficult and a challenging year, in many ways uniquely for all of us, because we have all been having to deal with common issues and challenges. But we thank you for how you have brought us to this present hour. We thank you for your kindness and your tender mercies along the road we've traveled. We thank you that in everything we've gone through, even if sometimes, Lord, we have struggled to believe it or to be conscious of it, the truth is, Lord, everything we have gone through, we have been loved with an everlasting love. You have been with us in it all. You've watched over our going out and our coming in. This has been a year where there's been much more coming in than going out. We thank you that when the road has been dark, you have not failed us, but you have been a lamp to our feet. Lord, while you have not changed or failed us, you have been constant and true. We acknowledge that there is much for which we need forgiveness. Lord, this year we've had more time on our hands than we're maybe used to, and yet we still have wasted so much of that time. There are still opportunities we've neglected. There is strength that we've given to the wrong things. For all the mistakes we've made, we have fallen short in sin, forgive us. For the sake of Jesus Christ. And as we look ahead to the beginning of a new year, we look forward not knowing what may befall us. We don't know what this new year will bring. We only hope and trust and pray that it will be better than this year. We pray that you would help us to live one day at a time, to trust you as much in the shadow as in the sunshine, and to continue to find our way by the light of your word. For all the possibilities that are ahead in this new year, make us thankful and give us wisdom and courage and discernment in the face of so much chaos and despair and fear. Help us to see how we may contribute towards peace and faith and love, reaching out with that good news of salvation that you have entrusted to us. We thank you that our times are in your hands and that we are secure in the arms of Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Father, hear our prayers. Be with us now as we think upon your word together, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that we associate so clearly with this time of year is music and song. And this year, the restrictions forced on us by the coronavirus have meant that we cannot sing out with our voices as we would like. But we know at Christmas, music is all around us, both Christian music and secular music. Now, I had some audio clips of Christmas music that I wanted to play and then ask you to identify the song, but Ebenezer says we can't play those this morning because YouTube will flag us for copyright violations, and he's right about that, so not going to be able to do that. So I'm just going to have to, Anna said I should sing the words. Ain't going to happen, folks. You can stop nodding your head. I said, unless you want to come up and do it with me. I said, no. So I'm just going to have to say these words, and when you recognize the song, shout out what it is, okay? So when the snowman brings the snow, oh well, he just might want to know he's put a great big smile on somebody's face.
Wish could be Christmas every day.
Wish could be Christmas every day, and you really do, Lois, don't you? Yeah. I wish it could be Christmas every day. We are allowed to play the carol clips, but aren't we, Alan? Yeah. Okay, so we can play the carol clips, Neil. Give me one of those. Oh, you don't need any more. I heard it already. What was it? Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Yeah, but we are going to get to do that one today. Alan's happy to do that one, so that's good. Okay, here's another one. Snow is falling all around us. Children... Oh, give me a chance, Stephen. Children playing, having fun. It's the season. Love and understanding. Say it again. Merry Christmas, everyone. Do you know who sang it? I'll give you 2 extra points. You tell me who sang it. You don't know? Some of you oldies, who sang it? Shaking Stevens. Who said that? You're giving them. Okay. It's on your playlist, is it, Colin? Yeah. All right. Okay. We can do another carol then, Neil. Is it Away in a Manger? Play it again. I've actually forgotten. It's not Away in a Manger. One more time, Neil, give us a bit more. I'm just hearing a murmur. I heard Alan said, oh, little town of Bethlehem. Yep, little town of Bethlehem. And just one more, definitely not singing this. I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. What is it, Stephen? All I want for Christmas is you. I wanted Anna to come up and sing that in her best Mariah Carey voice, but she wouldn't do that for me. Yeah, okay. Music is all around us at Christmas. Some Christmas music we love, some of it we just don't want to hear it again. Joanna's been working over Christmas, and their song has had a playlist, and there's certain songs she just doesn't want to hear anymore. And when we come to the Bible, particularly Luke's account, as he describes the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, what we find is Luke's account is filled with music, it's filled with song.
And so we find the song of Mary in Luke chapter 1. My soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Now we have people who have put that to music over the years. The only problem is we don't know what the original music was. I would love to hear the original. Then there's the song of the angelic choir in those hills overlooking Bethlehem, witnessed by the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men in whom his favor rests. I would love to hear the original of that. Hope we will hear that in glory. But this morning we're thinking about the often forgotten or overlooked Christmas song that we find later in Luke chapter 1, right at the end of Luke chapter 1, the song of Zechariah. The song of Zechariah. But before we look at that song, we need to remind ourselves of the context of that song and what led up to that. Because we're told during the rule of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah. Put the first slide up for me, Neil. His wife was called Elizabeth. And together, Zechariah and Elizabeth sought to follow and obey God. Now, there was something that made them both very sad. They had no children. No, go back. I go back to the first picture you had. That was better. They had no children. And they were both now quite old, so they thought they would never be parents. Now, one day, Zechariah, he worked at a priest up at that building, the temple in Jerusalem, that huge, impressive building where God's people went to worship. And it was Zechariah's turn to go into the temple and to burn incense before the altar. And this day, as he was doing that, an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah. And he was very afraid. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Elizabeth, your wife, will have a son. You're to name him John. He will be a very special child. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when he grows up, he will get the people ready for God." Now, Zechariah could not understand how this could happen. And he said to the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well on in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I have brought you this message from God. But now, because you did not believe me, you will not be able to speak until the day the child is born." And when Zechariah came out of the temple, the people found he could not speak. He tried to speak, but no words came out. He was making signs to the people outside to try and tell them what had happened. And they then realized he must have seen a vision in the temple. Zechariah went home when his duty was done. And after that, his wife Elizabeth discovered that she was indeed going to have a baby. It was just like the angel had said. Now, the angel said, "You will not be able to speak until the day the child is born." So how long was Zechariah unable to speak for? Anybody know? How long do we wait for a baby? Well, you're training to be a doctor, Anna. You tell me. 9 months. So for 9 months, Zechariah could not speak. For 9 months, he could not speak. But he learned an important lesson during that time when he could not speak. He learned that when God speaks, we need to be quiet and listen. And when the 9 months were over, Elizabeth gave birth to a baby boy, just like the angel had said. And her neighbors and relatives came to celebrate with her. And they were going to call him Zechariah after his father, because that's what people often did back then. But Elizabeth said, "No, his name is to be John." And they said, "John, are you sure there is nobody in your family called John?" And so they asked Zechariah, and Zechariah still couldn't speak, but he asked for something to write on. And when they got him that, he wrote down, "His name is John." And as soon as he wrote that down, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosened. And the first thing that he did was he launched into a song. A divinely inspired song. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Let's read that song together. Again, I would love to know what the music for this was. I hope we'll hear it one day. It's a divinely inspired song. I've called it a song for the dark times. Now, if any of you are a fan of Ian Rankin's novels, you'll realize that's the title of his most recent book, A Song for the Dark Times. If ever there was a song for the dark times Zechariah was living in, this was it, and it's still appropriate for the dark times that we live in now. So let's read from Luke chapter 1, verse 67. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. To show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Amen. We thank God for this reading from his word. What a wonderful song. It's a song that recognizes, first of all, a promise fulfilled. A promise fulfilled. Now, at our point in history, we can hardly understand the excitement and the wonder of Zechariah. We need to imagine ourselves into his position. That's why I read those words of Malachi right at the beginning. We need to imagine ourselves seeing the fulfillment of the oldest and most cherished promise in the Old Testament, the promise of the Messiah, and seeing the accomplishment of that promise brought to our own door. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. Praise be to God because he was once again speaking to his people. There'd be no new revelation from God since the days of Malachi. 400 years had passed. And God's people were living in dark times. Over the course of the last 400 years, they'd faced ongoing hardship and suffering as they looked for Messiah to come. Conquest by the Greeks under Alexander. Then the oppressive rule of the Seleucids and the desecration of the temple in Jerusalem. Then after a short period of independence, Judea became a subjugated province of the Roman Empire. And the Jews hated and resented that. In these dark times, God's people were eagerly looking for salvation. And Zechariah realizes that time has come. That time is now. Just imagine that feeling he had of seeing this promise being fulfilled in front of his eyes. It wasn't just a promise fulfilled. In many ways, it was the promise fulfilled, the greatest promise that God gave right back beginning in Genesis 3. It reminds us that God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. Folks, at this point, I wanted to play you some music on a video, but Alan says we can't. And he's right, we can't. I don't want to get us into trouble, but that's a shame because I thought it was a lovely piece of music. So at this point, all I can do is share some announcements with you. First of all, just to say, if you haven't already given, the moderator's appeal time is running out for that. Do contribute to that as soon as possible. And just to remind you all that in order to be included in the 2020 financial report, all contributions towards church funds need to be forwarded by next Sunday, the 3rd of January at the latest. Don't forget to register for worship next Sunday. 3rd of January. Stephen Johnson is going to be leading the service, and the preacher will be the moderator of the General Assembly, David Bruce. He will be here, but he'll be appearing on those screens, folks. It's a special message that the moderator has produced for PCI congregations to use just at the turn of the year. I will be off for the incoming week. I'll be back on Monday the 4th of January. If you need the services of a minister during that time, then contact our clerk of session, Roger Thompson, or Jean Murray, the minister, as I said, on Christmas Day, the minister on call during this incoming week, the Reverend Dr. John Dixon. And since this is the last time that I expect I'm going to be seeing you in 2020, I'm going to take this opportunity to wish you all what I hope will be a much happier new year in 2021. So we thought about a promise fulfilled in the song for the dark time. Secondly, we see a great salvation. A great salvation. Zechariah's son, John, would be the forerunner to prepare the way for the Messiah. And if Zechariah's son was the forerunner, then salvation was on its way. What is salvation? Well, according to Zechariah's song, salvation is something that comes from God. It doesn't come from us. And it's vital we understand that. He blesses God for visiting his people. This was something that he had experienced personally 9 months earlier when the angel appeared to him. But that visitation was not from self alone. By sending his angel, by giving Elizabeth a baby, by putting a child in Mary's womb, God was visiting his people. He was entering into our situation from the outside because without his intervention, we could not be saved. Friends, salvation is not a human invention. It's a divine visitation. No one is ever saved except by the grace of God. And God in his graciousness comes in fulfillment of his promise to bring salvation. And Zechariah's song shows he really knew his scriptures. He knew that God had promised to lift up a horn of salvation. That phrase comes particularly from the Psalms, where horns are used as a symbol of an animal's power and strength. He knew that God had promised David a son to rule in his eternal throne. And then Zechariah goes even further back. He goes right back to the covenant God made with Abraham. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you, God said to Abraham. God had not forgotten his promise. And this salvation that comes from God in fulfillment of his promise means deliverance. In verse 68, Zechariah calls it redemption. Redemption. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. What is redemption? Redemption is release from slavery through the payment of a price. Release from slavery through the payment of a price. And in verse 77, Zechariah describes it as being saved from our enemies and from the hands of those who hate us. God's people have always had enemies, and God's people today, we still have enemies. Because people hate God, it is only natural that they also hate his followers. Now, in Zechariah's day, the hated enemies were the Romans, and God's people were longing for a new exodus in which God would rescue them from the Romans. The Jews believed in a Messiah who was going to come and free them from Roman rule. And yet there was so much more to it. There was a spiritual and religious dimension to this. Behind this deliverance from enemies is envisaged a kingdom that is coming where God's people would serve him without fear, where they would serve in holiness, where they would belong to God and they would serve him in righteousness and they would live as God's people should. You see, that's the goal of our salvation. Too often we think, in terms of salvation, it's something for us. Forgiveness for sins and everlasting life. But God wants to do something more with us than simply get us into heaven. God's goal for us is to live for his glory. God's salvation leads to true freedom and life in all its fullness. And that always leads into service, into serving God and living for him. We live in those days now where everything God has promised has been fulfilled for us in Jesus Christ, other than his second coming and that resurrection from the dead. Jesus is the salvation that comes from God. And unless he had sent his son, we could never be saved. We needed someone to live the perfect life that we cannot live and to die an atoning death in our place. And the death and resurrection of Jesus has delivered us from sin. It's delivered us from death. It's delivered us from Satan. We are no longer enslaved by our sin, and we are free to give our lives in service to Jesus and others. There's a great salvation. There's a promise fulfilled. There's a great salvation. Thirdly, finally, there's a new dawn. A new dawn. It's only in verse 76 that Zechariah then makes reference to his son, to John. He says, he will be a prophet of the Most High, as the angel had said. As I've said, there'd been no prophets in Israel for 400 years. A new phase of history was beginning. And John's task was to prepare the way for Jesus. Before the people could respond to Messiah, they had to be made ready. And John's task was to bring people to a realization of their sin and to call them to repentance. He was proclaiming God's salvation, but a salvation that would not, in the first instance, consist in political liberation, but the forgiveness of sin. And this preparation was necessary because, as I've said, the nation as a whole had the wrong conception of what the Messiah would be and what he would do. It was an earthly material view of someone coming to drive out the Romans. They were looking for the wrong kind of salvation. They had no concept of their own spiritual needs. They saw themselves as God's chosen people. They were the righteous ones. The Romans were the Gentiles. They were the dogs to be driven out. But John's job was to summon people to a realization of their own guilt, of their own sin, and to ensure that they saw that the real redemption they needed was deliverance from the power of sin. Folks, like the people of Israel, we are usually wrong about what we really need. We often tend to look at our outward circumstances. We want God to save us from things like a bad work situation or our financial difficulties or a deadly virus. And of course, God is able to handle these problems, and it's right to pray to him for his help. But the first thing that God needs to deal with in all our lives is our sin. Because that changes us. And eventually salvation changes society, but that's not where it starts. Salvation begins within when the Holy Spirit changes a sinner's heart. Zechariah calls the Messiah the day spring, the light that will shine on those living in darkness. Looks back to Malachi talking about the Son of Righteousness. The coming of the Messiah is seen in terms of light. As John tells us, Jesus was that light shining in the darkness. He's the light of the world. The Messiah is a light to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. And the people of John's day were living in darkness and misery. But in the coming of Messiah, a bright light dawns. Darkness is dispelled, and those who avail themselves of that light are able to see clearly the path leading to peace, the way of forgiveness of sins, of reconciliation to God through the redeeming work of the Messiah. Friends, we're still living in dark times. We've been through dark days in the course of this year. We need a song to bring us light and life in such times, and Zechariah's song does that. In the darkness, what we most need is someone to switch on a light, to show us the way, to guide our feet. God has given us that light in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Salvation is like the first glimmer of dawn after the blackest night. Until we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we're still living in the darkness of unforgiven sin. But when we trust him as Zechariah did, his light comes into our lives and we are able to see the way clearly. When we believe in Jesus, when we put our trust in him, the dark night of our sin is over and his light shines in our heart. Promise fulfilled. Great salvation. Great salvation and a new dawn. A song for the dark times. Let's pray together. Our gracious Father, we praise you this morning again for that side
that time in history in which we live, that we are able to look back and to see the fulfillment of your promise. We thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son Jesus into this world. We thank you for the great salvation that is ours through his completed work. We thank you for that new dawn that comes to our lives and that can come to our society when people respond to Jesus and put their trust in him. Lord, we've come through dark times in this last year. And we look ahead to 2021 and we trust and we hope that things will be better. But we remember, Lord, that no matter what comes our way in this new year, we have a song for the dark times. We have a light to shine in the darkness. We have someone to show us the way. So we pray again that you would help us to put our hand in the hands of Jesus, to trust him, to follow him, to hand our lives over to him, and to serve him, to bear witness to that light so that others will be rescued from the darkness and the fear that they're presently living in. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
One more time this year, folks. It'll be a year before we sing it again. Hark, the herald angels sing.
I meant to ask you to stand when we were praying earlier and I forgot. Let's stand now as we conclude our service, as we pray for God's blessing on one another, as we close this new year, as we look ahead into a new year. Let's say the words of the grace together. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.